Thank you, Mr. Anderson. Good day, everyone. For the last 7 days, as the opening prayer reminded us, we have been part of the flat bread society, avoiding light, fluffy loaves and cakes. This week, no hot cross buns, no bacon sarnies, no McDonald's, no Pizza Hut, no Simnel cake, no Victoria sponge. Houses have been searched, spring cleaned, yeast, the residue of yeast and baking powder discarded. Our stomachs rested from excessive yeast. We've ticked all the boxes. Perhaps. How successful this week have we really been? Let's have a look at Corinthians 5 and adjust our focus. Corinthians chapter 5, I want to read verses 7 and 8. Corinthians 5, Paul wrote, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness." How much of that have we found in our spring clean? How much of that have we shaken out with the carpet? What we are to do is to replace that with the study of God's word, as was again mentioned in the opening prayer. Paul wrote, "But with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth." Whilst we've not been soured or bittered with yeast, how much have we fermented with malice? Anyone who's a driver will have a difficulty in saying, well, certainly not me. I actually had a very smooth ride up this morning, so I didn't break down today. I did not lose my temper with any other driver today. But we can so easily corrupt ourselves with wickedness. While avoiding naughty cakes, have we managed to swallow lumps of sincerity or crumbs of truth? As we were reminded the other day, it's no good merely stopping something. It has to be replaced and refilled with something better. Let's have a look at Ephesians, Paul writing in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 29 to the end of the chapter, 32. Ephesians, what's Galatians? It'll be more interesting if I go to Ephesians first. We might read the same things then. "Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, building up, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness," the Hebrew word for yeast refers to the bitterness. They used sourdough very often to speed the process up. So yeast is associated with bitterness. But spiritually, we must put bitterness out of our life, and wrath and anger and clamor. It's part of the world in which we live. People are no longer trained to control emotions. They allow them to bubble up, boil up inside them like so much bread going through the action of yeast. It's interesting how many parallels there are with yeast and this. 32, "But be you kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you." We have got to go against the grain. We have got to go against the society in which we live. The world's wisdom can be summed up in a proverb which goes like this: "Do unto others as they would do unto you, but do it first." That is the wisdom of this world. We are educated, processed to fear the other person. There is a certain wisdom about that. People are menacing. People are dangerous. In London this week, a young woman, about 22 years of age, I think, newly pregnant, was shot dead on her doorstep. No one knows why. There was an ongoing dispute, though, with a neighbour over parking. It's difficult to imagine someone could get a contract kill, a contract hit, over an argument about where their car is parked. But anybody who has a parking space outside their house knows how they feel when someone actually parks in it or across it. Expect others to be your adversary. This is what the world warns us. This is the wisdom the world teaches us. Remember also the Hollywood film of a few years ago about Wall Street, a character played by Michael Douglas, the line that really stuck in my mind, because it's so easy to fall into the same trap. He gloated, "Greed is good." That's the way of this world. Our Western society, the success story of this world, we are told nowadays, is based on get. Of course, that's what Mr. Armstrong said. We use the word, the business word, competition. Competition is good. It inspires people. It helps them to improve their place in life. But it comes normally at the expense of everybody else. Our society, usury, the putting on of exorbitant rates of interest. Somebody's trying to persuade me to take out a credit card. At the moment, I don't pay a charge for buying my material as long as I pay it in time. They would like me to take up a credit card of 23.5%. I wonder why. Gambling. Our country's great salvation now is gambling. William Wilberforce, who is being celebrated now as the man who persuaded the British government to cancel slavery, also campaigned against the National Lottery successfully 200 years ago. Look how much progress we've made. We now depend on paying for the Olympic Games, much of the health care, sports for children. It's all going to come out of the lottery fund. And who is the ones who go in for the lottery funds, the people who can least afford to play or dabble with this foolishness? Confidence tricks. I won a lottery this last week. All I had to do was to send all my details. It was, what, 800,000 euros. But the agent in Spain, all they needed were all my bank details, all my security details. I rang up the police because if I put a foot wrong, if I drop a piece of litter, if I park somewhere, they are on me like a ton of bricks. But someone trying to scam my details out of me, doesn't matter. Just throw it away, destroy it. We're not interested. Thank you very much. Our world is winner take all. And curiously, the expression ends, the devil take the hindmost. Excuse me, he's got all the rest as well. Credit where credit is due. The mind process, distrust everybody, get to them first, look after yourself, look after number one. What a fantastic time we live in. This present evil age is created by man separated from God under the influence of Satan. Satan hasn't only gone the hindmost, he's got the foremost as well. The people who set the examples in the society. We have been called out of this, but we are still affected by it. Don't bother to turn there, but check later if you suspect I'm wrong. Matthew 10, Christ warned his students, his disciples, I send you out like sheep among wolves. We are to be harmless to other people. Not get to them first. Not rob them first, not knife them in the back before they have a chance to draw. We are to be harmless, innocent, like doves, as wise as serpents. Let's not kid ourselves, it is dangerous out there. He said in verse 17, beware of men. So the wisdom of this world is not completely awry. It is a jungle out there. It is a wilderness. It is dog eat dog. But we have to apply different principles. To start with, we don't have to get in first. We don't have to put in the preemptive strike. We don't have to put in the first punch. God is our defense. When God tells us to be patient and to forgive other people, he is not leaving us defenseless. When people talk about being survivalists and wanting to be armed with firearms, wanting their Kalashnikov, their M16, their Glock, their riot gun, just remember, just possessing those things in a survivalist situation, you are a target. Your firepower doesn't just protect you, it makes you vulnerable. It makes you a target. God is our champion. We are not left defenseless. Maybe he doesn't jump in quite as quickly as you would like him to, but trust on him. The Israelites we celebrate today in remembering the first Passover and that week of unleavened bread, waited 200 years in slavery. They were an example to us. We don't have to wait 200 years, but it will have to wait longer than we expect to sometimes. But don't give up. Don't lose heart. Remember the promises to us. Paul wrote again in Galatians chapter 13. For brethren, we have been called into liberty. We have been called to liberty. Freedom. Freedom from the fear that besets the rest of the world. Because God is with us. That liberates us so much. We don't have to steal, cheat, lie. God is with us. God will be our partner, our associate, our helper. Excuse me, I've lost my place. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. The complete reverse of the wisdom of this world. Instead of getting for yourself, think about the other person. Cooperate. It actually works. It even works when people in the world try it. And they're always amazed. Oh, that went very well. Oh, that was nice. That was very pleasant. But they then go back into competition. By love, serve one another. We are each other's servants. It's nice to tell Mr. Bowles you're our minister. Don't try it too often, though. But we are each other's servants. We have to serve each other. There was a conversation, one of my clients today, evangelical background, was explaining that his wife should obey him. And I says, well, yes, she should. But you should sacrifice yourself to her like Jesus Christ sacrificed to the church. Amazingly, although we knew so many of the scriptures, that seemed to have passed him by. And there's another scripture, we should submit to each other. Now, I've never found that one, but my wife keeps turning to it straight away. Verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Not punch him first, stab him first, or steal from him first, or lie to him first, but love him. Do unto him as you would like to be done by. Not as you fear he might do to you. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you do someone down, surprise, surprise, they come back at you. It's called vengeance. I'm Cornish. It's part of my history. It's part of me, which I have to get rid of. Verse 15, this is the warning, this is the punchline from Paul. If you bite and devour one another, if you act like a wild animal, surprise, surprise. Take heed that you be not consumed one of another. That's the final result of following the wisdom of this world. We are consumed by it, destroyed by it, overwhelmed by it. As far as I know, this week I have succeeded in replacing my fermented dough with beer, with unleavened bread. Having recently renewed our covenant with God, how effective will we be in coming out of spiritual Egypt, continuing to have faith in God, trusting in Him and growing in sincerity and truth? Am I beginning to sound like New Labour? I do apologise. Dear, oh dear. Even the words we use have been polluted by the world in which we live. Sincerity and truth. When people say that to us, we immediately think, oh, what's he selling? How corrupt have we become? We used to have some character on British television who introduced Opportunity Knocks, a talent show. And his byword was, in all sincerity, folks. And I don't know of a more insincere man than that gentleman. Shouldn't speak ill of the dead, but just came to me then. The very words now have been polluted for our use. Rely on God. God does speak the truth. These words are true, no matter how much they've been besmirched, pulled through the drug, the mud. Dear, oh dear. What a world we live in. The drug, indeed. I've had no skunk on me, thank you very much. Forgive others as God forgive us. If we suffer hurt, leave it to God. It's difficult. It's not easy. But it might save your life. We've seen people on the roads dueling with each other, expressing their anger and frustration with each other. When you're driving a ton and a half of metal, bouncing down the road at 80 miles an hour, a little clip doesn't cause £200 or £300 worth of damage, it causes death. What a curious way to express your disapproval of someone else. You end up dead. But that's the way of this world. God says, leave it to him. He was able to overthrow Pharaoh on the day that we commemorate now. The greatest army the world knew at that time. The most powerful, richest nation in the world. Their army was taken out in minutes, seconds perhaps. And we worry about someone getting the best of us in a business deal or hurting our feelings. We are going to be busy enough fighting ourselves not to have to worry about fighting everybody else. Continue to strive to get rid from us the spiritual leaven of malice and sin.